Just as a side note, Brother Davidson sent a real nice thank you note, just thanking everybody for their hospitality and also the love offering, and just what a blessing he was. And looking forward, hopefully I get to see him this next week and up at the school. And look forward to Russell being in school up there, and just what a blessing. By the way, if you didn't have any loose cash on you and you want to contribute, you can do that Sunday or whatever. And we'll probably dole it out to him a little bit at a time over the semester. And just help him out. Amen? And then also we have maybe explaining the way it kind of works around here. Some of you who are new, I know some help and give to Brother James Stone, which is great. Anybody out of our church that you want to help individually, we certainly have no problem with you putting that as an offering and doing that, whether it's Jason Pugh or Brother Stone or I know some I don't want to embarrass them, but Brother Jack, who's in Bible college, Brother Doyce, who has been. There's been times when people have asked about helping our Bible college students, and you're always welcome to do that. If the Lord lays upon your heart, you want to get involved, absolutely. And to me, one of the greatest mission projects we can have is training our young men and our young ladies, and you kind of get in on the ground floor of the blessings. You know what I'm saying? You support them in the beginning, then from there on out, everything that they do in the future is to your account. Amen? That's Bible. And certainly want to be involved in their lives and help them. And so, anyway, Brother Davidson sends his regards and thank you. And remember our church planters, Brother Stone, if you didn't hear Sunday, has found a building. And they are in the process. If you didn't sell it on Facebook, he's in the process of tearing up the floor, getting the carpet pulled up, and getting ready to do a few things in it. It doesn't need a lot of work. It was already used as a church building. It is a storefront. But remember Brother Stone in prayer. And then remember Brother Jason in prayer. Their second year anniversary is this Sunday down in Burleson. And they have opportunity to meet in the old Church of Christ building. And so they're going to meet in the old Church of Christ building right there on the highway. And for free. They're letting them meet there for free. And the Church of Christ have moved out of that building. If anybody just has $3.1 million laying around, Brother Jason could have that building. It's only 44,000 square feet. And if you think about it, this building, 16,000. We're building 10,000 over there. When we get the second floor done in here, it will be 30,000 square feet here total. That's 46,000 square feet. And they have talked to him several times, and we've actually sat down with him once and just said, hey, you know, church buildings are hard to get rid of sometimes. They really are. Their value in that property is the property, not the building. And so anyway, but Lord's good. So he's anxious. He's excited. He's shooting for 200. And if you know Brother Jason, he'll hit it or get really close. And so I'm excited for him. And they've seen several adults just here a couple weeks ago, baptized 4 adults, just doing a great job. And I know I don't talk about him enough and what a blessing he is and the work he's doing on our behalf. I mean, he really is. We have really put a lot of money into it and a lot of prayers, a lot of money this year, helping him personally and keeping it's exciting. All right, we better get some preaching. Matthew chapter 23, verse 12. I do want to remember Kayla Udd in prayer. I know we didn't mention her a while ago, but I'm glad to see her doing so well, but we certainly don't want to forget her. And they do have, what's the appointment, 2.5 weeks now? Is that about where we're at? Or the 29th. All right, so the appointment on the 29th, if you remember that appointment in prayer and just pray that everything looks good and there's no need to do anything further or and then maybe even her get the brace off so she can go on to college and feel better about the whole thing. And so remember Miss Kayla Udd in your prayers. It's good to see. I'm just going to call her Brother Brandon's mother tonight with us. And that's what all parents are referred to after a certain amount of time. And it's good to see her with us tonight. All right. Matthew 23, verse 12. Let's begin reading in verse 5. But all their works they do for to be seen of men, talking about the Pharisees and Sadducees or the scribes, they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. The love, the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues, verse 7, and greetings in the market, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. I'm glad today we're all on the same level. Absolutely. Some of the things I've been involved with other preachers, I've seen many, many times. Not politically correct statement, but I'm going to say it anyway. Too many chiefs, not enough Indians, you know. And so, the Lord's just saying here, hey, we're all brethren. Can we be reminded of that tonight? We're all brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Well, that sure flies in the face of some Catholicism there. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. By the way, I just want to point out again that Jesus did confront people. You know, a lot of times in this day and age, people say, well, we need to be loving, kind, and gracious. And we do. I say that all the time. We need to teach the truth in love. But there is a time when people, when beliefs and practices need to be confronted. And Jesus did so. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make of him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. I think the Lord was a little bit blunt. Amen? And I, again, just point out, we're to follow in Jesus' steps. There's a time and a place to be blunt and to confront those who are falsely teaching, are teaching false doctrines and so forth. Look at verse 12 with me again. Verse 12. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Let's pray. Lord, bless this time. Bless the reading of your word. Lord, help us as we battle our flesh and in our flesh the pride of life. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you've empowered us to live the Christian life, and we pray for your strength and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The most sinful attitude possessed by mankind today is pride. Pride. And it is talked about a lot, I would think, preached a lot, even from here. The Lord condemned pride. Listen to this. The Lord condemned pride more than he did adultery, lying, cheating, and stealing. Pride. We see the Pharisees as a sect were very prideful. And remember the story, we won't turn over there, where the Pharisee was looking at the publican, the tax collector, and saying, Lord, I fast, I give tithes, I do all these things. And the publican, the sinner, was saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Pharisee would say, I thank thee that I am not like this sinner. And the publican wouldn't even lift up his head and his eyes towards heaven, but smit his chest and said, woe to me, a sinner. What a contrast. What a contrast. We as Christians need to be very careful that we don't exhibit pride and that we don't have pride in our life. People are prideful in very various ways. I think of the various ways that some people are prideful of their humility. All right, we won't go into that one. Some are prideful of their ignorance. You know, they just kind of play everything down. I told my kids this afternoon, no, we won't do that one. I'm in a good mood tonight, I promise, I really am. The whole staff says I'm not. I went off sugar Sunday again. I've been off sugar since Sunday, all right? So y'all all give me a little slack tonight. My mind's not working quite right. Kind of got that sick feeling. I can feel it all the way down to my toes. And really, I didn't feel bad until today. I think it just finally set in. but no sugar. So, I mean, I've had a kiss from my wife, but no sugar. Okay. I told you I'm in a good mood. People are prideful of just various areas of their life, whatever it may be. And some people do play ignorant, and they'll play down their and be prideful of their dumbness. That's a good word. Some are prideful of their sweet disposition. You don't like that word, dumbness? I can come up with all sorts of new ones. We can do this tonight. Spurgeon once said, "Be not proud of race, face, place, or grace." We shouldn't be prideful. We should not be prideful. Remind us tonight that we have nothing to boast about. All we have is from the Lord. The knowledge we possess, the wisdom we have, the material possessions we have. In fact, the Bible tells us even our life, our breath, our strength, our health are all in His hand. You didn't build that. Amen? I shouldn't have made that reference either. The first sin ever recorded was related to pride. It was never intended for us to pat ourselves on the back. Dr. Barber, I've heard him say this a couple of times. He said, if we were intended to pat ourselves on the back, we would have been hinged different. Don't break your arm trying to pat yourself on the back. I got some other Dr. Barber quotes in here. The very first sin ever recorded was related to pride. Isaiah 14, and we won't turn there either, but if you want to write it down, some of you may want to go look at it. Let's do it anyway. Isaiah 14. You know what I really did as I was studying this week? And for some of you who've been Christians a long time, I have the tendency sometimes to say, hey, let's go on to the next scripture. But we have individuals in here who haven't been saved a long time. Some of these verses, they've never seen. They never looked at. So I think sometimes I need to be more careful about going back and looking at some of these verses. Look at Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13. Verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart," talking about Satan, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Satan, his pride. He said, "I will be somebody." He didn't say, "I, not my will, but thy will be done." Just the opposite. And let's be reminded, it's not about what we want, it's about what he wants. Not about us, it's all about him. We think about the sin of Adam. The human race was plunged into sin by the sin of pride. When Satan said, "If you'll take of this fruit, you'll have the knowledge of good and evil, you will be like God," pride set in with Eve and then along with Adam as well. Within us is always that fleshly appetite to be bigger, faster, stronger. In fact, I remember as a kid, you know, that was the big thing in our locker room and in athletics. Bigger, faster, stronger. Bigger, faster. Everybody wants to be bigger, faster, stronger. But that relates to everyone wanting to know more, have more, all those things. We must be very careful. As the Bible relates to us that pride is a heart matter, Mark chapter 7 and 1 John chapter 2 speaks of the pride of the heart that Satan appeals to, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. 1 John 2, verse 15. Understanding that this is an area in which takes deep root in us that, if we're not careful, is very hard to pluck out. In fact, that tree gets very hard to saw down after a while when pride is set in and it's all about me. It's all about I. It's all about me. This can happen in your marriage. This can happen even with your children. Can I just relate to this? That sometimes we as parents can become selfish in the way we deal with our kids and the time we spend with our kids and not putting them in the place they should be. Sometimes we as husbands and wife don't put our spouse in the position they should be. Kind of remind you of the position they are, that God is number one, my spouse is number two, my children are number three. And it is about putting them in the proper priorities and making sure that we spend the time and are not selfish towards those things. And we must be very careful. And I don't think grandparents have a problem with that, but parents sometimes do. I think grandparents pull that. It's just all about how much cake they can have. Oh, I'd love to have a piece of cake. Pride will root itself if we're not careful. Pride is anti-God, anti-Christ, and anti-Christian. It is selfishness in all of its glory. In other words, we know that sin is defined as being selfish. 1 John 3:4 says that sin is a transgression of the law. The law is not treating others as we want to be treated. So sin is selfishness. And pride is at the very root of that, being selfish. Most other sins can be connected, if you would, to pride and selfishness. And we all can be connected to selfishness, but pride and putting ourselves first. Matthew chapter 18. I think this is a very good point. Verse 1. Matthew chapter 18, verse 1 says, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." See, pride keeps a lot of people out of heaven. Pride keeps a lot of people out of heaven. You see, in order to go to heaven, you've got to be totally dependent upon God. Completely dependent upon God. And today, so many people are kept out of heaven because of their pride. It keeps them from the altar. It keeps them from asking. It keeps them from praying. Pride. Pride. I was praying with somebody this week. Hugged them, and they were talking about a family member that was lost, and they said that family member just wouldn't recognize their sin. Family member was older in age. In fact, Brother Latta was talking about his grandfather. And I mean, there's so many other things, family members we could talk about, that won't acknowledge their sin and directly connected to pride. We need to be willing to understand that we are sinners on our way to hell unless we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection. Completely trust in Him. And because of pride, many will not come to Him. Some, the popular saying, "I'm a self-made man," and though I know in politics here recently, our president made a stupid statement, but nobody is self-made. And I don't mean that in the way Obama said it. I mean, I believe a man works hard and builds his business and does all those things, and Obama's terribly wrong about that. And I don't mind saying it tonight because I feel like it. But nobody is self-made. Everybody understands that. And by that I mean we're to be dependent upon God. Amen. God is the one who blesses us. God is the one who gives to us freely, the Bible says, gifts. He's the one who gives to us. We need to be careful. Nobody is self-made. How does pride affect people? Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, "Let no man think more highly of himself than he ought to think." We have many people today who are just simply egotists. And I want to read some of these. These are very good. It says, "An egotist is someone who likes mirrors, but never can understand what other people see in them." So this is prideful, somebody who's an egotist. "An egotist is an eye specialist." You know, capital I. I like that one. "And this is Dr. Barber." How many of y'all here know Dr. Barber? Raise your hand. Okay, Dr. Barber was my professor in college. And Dr. Barber pastored the Worth Baptist Church in Fort Worth for 35 years. One of the best preachers in the country, still is. He's now in his late 70s, early 80s. And he'll be preaching here next May on a Wednesday night. I'm looking forward to it. The fellowship's going to be here on a Wednesday night. You'll get to hear him preach. I can't wait. But he said this all the time, and I wrote it down. I'll just never forget it. He said, "Egotism is the hypodermic..." I'm sorry, let me make sure I get this right. "Egotism is the hypodermia that God allows a man to administer to himself to deaden the pain of being a fool." I love that. Egotism. Pride. Let's get down to the nuts and bolts of it tonight. Signs of pride in someone's life. All of these will hit home. One, critical of others. Critical of others. You ever found anyone who's all they do is talk about the problems of someone else? And I'm talking about their flaws. They always talk about the flaws of someone else. When you get around them, it's always chip, 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 gossip about someone else's. Right? That's pride. I say, I'm better than that. But be careful about this. Signs of pride. Jealousy. Jealousy, a sign of pride. Being jealous of what someone else has, and being jealous of someone else's, whatever it may be, a sign of pride. Sign of pride is one who is self-assertive, sarcastic, and resentful. Be very careful with your sarcasm. I've read it many times and seen it, that sarcasm can kill a marriage. It really can. But can I say sarcasm can kill any relationship? We must be very careful. Most people understand and know that sometimes what you say sarcastically, that you really mean that. And we'll say, oh, that was just being funny, but we'll be very careful. Sometimes even with our friends, we need to be careful. A lot of sarcasm, not all, I'm not saying putting a blanket on it, but a lot of sarcasm comes from being prideful. Lastly, proud people often are aggressive, argumentative, and irritable. Not like I am tonight. Not that kind of irritable because of no sugar. But just love to argue. I know a few people who are like that. I don't like to argue. In fact, I sometimes have a hard time with confrontation, period. But there are some people who just, it's all about it. Aggressive, argumentative, and irritable. Very careful about the signs of pride. I think the first one was the best one. Critical of others. Signs of pride. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10, if you turn over there with me. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10. And listen, you could preach several messages on this and really not come to the end of it. Such a huge topic in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom. Only by pride cometh contention. I'll never forget, this verse actually came up in a camp, and then I heard it again at a preacher's meeting. Let's read that again, just that first part. Look there again, verse 13, or chapter 13, verse 1. Only by pride cometh contention. Contention, in all of its forms, can be related back to pride. Whether it's contention in your marriage, whether it's contention in a relationship with a family member. Everybody looking at me? Everybody see the verse? It's a good verse. And the two times it was spoke on and I heard it preached on, it touched me. I just never had looked at it that way. That most contention, in fact, here it doesn't even say most. It says contention comes from pride. And can I tell you, in your relationships with others, that it is pride that keeps you from giving in, maybe in that argument or whatever you're in. Maybe it's pride that you won't allow and seek forgiveness. It's pride. You see what I'm saying? Contention. Most of the contention, or the contention in our lives, can be directly related to pride. Contention in all of its forms. You know, nobody wants to admit they're wrong. Right? Nobody wants to admit they're wrong. I'll never forget, as a kid, Dad telling me to go say I'm sorry to somebody, And I would say, I didn't do anything wrong. And my dad said, I don't care what you say or what you think you didn't do anything wrong. You go say you're sorry. Yes, sir. I did what I was told. Because I was scared of him. And as we grow up, we just don't get out of that same habit. That old pride kicks in. I didn't do anything wrong. Why should I say I'm sorry? Or we get into that little thing, and especially in marriage sometimes, well, I said I was sorry last time. You ever heard a kid say that? I've seen that. Well, I said I was sorry. It's his turn. It's her turn. Pride. 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 Contention comes from pride. Brother Cox and some of our preachers in here know. You guys all think that preachers never contentious with one another. It happens a lot, more than you think. And at the particular meeting I was at, he was just really pointing out that the contention between the brethren was because of pride. And may I make the same application here tonight? Contention among the brethren and the sistern are because of pride. I made up two words tonight. Right? That's what it's teaching here. And honestly, this verse just really worked on my own heart. And again, I've got it written down in several of my notes. When I go to different places, I always make notes. And man, just really, I guess it just hit home for me. And every time I see myself in a contentious situation, I think, is it me? Am I being prideful in this? We think about Nebuchadnezzar and what an illustration we have. And God, Nebuchadnezzar said, look what I've done. After he had defeated the then-no world at that time, he accomplished the goal of all the then-no world being, you know, under his domain. He said, look what I have done. Look what I have done. And God said, uh-uh. And God basically touched him, and he went out, and he ate grass. And the Bible says he grew feathers. And it was a bad deal. 7 years for being prideful. 7 years. Can we again quote that verse, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall? We must be very careful. And I'll go back to that signs of pride, being critical of others. Be careful about what you say about others, because it's going to come right around to you. Honestly. What you see others do, you say you would never do. The Bible says, careful. What does God think about pride? Well, again, we could spend a lot of time. Proverbs chapter 6. Since you should still be in Proverbs, maybe. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16. The Bible says, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. But that first look there, a proud look. God hates. Look at the list. He says he hates it. Pride. James 4:6 says that we are to resist the prideful. Resist pride. God hates pride. If we could say, and you know, if you could do a scale between 1 and 10 tonight, all of us have a certain amount of pride in our lives right now. There's no one in this room who is not guilty of this, just a little, some more. But all of us have a little bit of this in our life. And we must be very careful, because God says he hates it. And God says he hates it. He hates pride. What is the greatest cure for pride? One is humility. Humility. It means being humble before God. The Bible says, he that shall humble himself. He that shall humble himself. 1 Peter chapter 5 says we must do it. We must humble ourselves before God. As we humble ourselves before God, we'll humble ourselves before others. As we submit to the authority of God, we'll submit to the authority of others. We use this with, I do with teenagers a lot. And as they come and I counsel with them and their parents, they'll say something. When we're having authority issues with our son and so forth, and I would explain to the teenager what the consequence of that is. If the consequence of that is, if you can't submit to the authority of your parents, you won't submit to the authority of the boss that you have at Jack in the Box. But then I go back and I explain to them, if you won't submit to your daddy, you won't submit to God either. If you won't submit to your mama, you won't submit to God either. And it really comes back to that. As we humble ourselves before God, as we get on our knees and we humble ourselves before the God, our Creator, it will affect all of our other relationships. It will absolutely deal with our pride. How do we handle pride? By learning to humble ourselves. How do we humble ourselves? Number one, admit that we need God's help. Pretty simple. John 15 verse 5 says that without Him we can do nothing. Admit that we need His help. When's the last time you just went to God and said, Lord, I need Your help? I've done that here recently in a couple situations. Just really got along with God and said, Lord, I need Your help. Confess pride. Confess pride. Confess it as a sin. Lord, I know I have this in my life, and I know that the I in my life has become dominant. Lord, please forgive me and confess that. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Humble ourselves before God. Lastly, seek His guidance. So as we humble ourselves before Him and ask and confess our sin of pride, and then we simply say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And that would be in any given situation. Lord, what would you have me to do in this relational issue that I have? What would you have me to do in this job situation? Or whatever it is, you would go to God and say, Lord, give me guidance. Lord, you direct and lead me. I need your help. I am not self-sufficient. I am not self-made. God, I depend upon you. I yield to you. Whatever you want, Lord, that's what I want. Think about the Sermon on the Mount. What did Jesus say? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek. Doesn't mean pansy. Meek describes Jesus as power under control, or force under control. It's controlling oneself. Understanding that we are totally dependent upon God in our relations. Contention is caused by pride. How are your relationships tonight? As we think about our relationships, we must come to God and say, Lord, I admit that I need you. God, I need your help. Lord, I am sorry that I am prideful. Lord, you lead me. And let Him to lead you. Lead you wherever it may be. Let's all stand.